For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Greg Cosell was fantastic.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if he threw the haymaker that Nick Bosa threw at practice today.
Is a haymaker?
Well, I mean, it's compelling. Let's put it that way.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
Well, he was compelling last year when he said, well, we didn't really plan for that.
Right.
Mahomes and the zone keeper. I'm not going to say who didn't prepare us, but I think you can kind of figure that out, you guys.
Yeah. We have great energy.
We just don't have a defensive coordinator that I like.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I can honestly say we weren't prepared for this.
I can honestly say I missed camp. That also didn't help.
Right.
Whatever. No, it was a little
haymaker
different.
From Bosa.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit of a strong term. But,
okay.
I mean, you decide. You decide. Check it out. Playing the Vikings this week. Hey, Nikki, what do you think?
This week, I think we're playing a better, honestly, a better team. That's they're playing better football, it looks like, and they run the ball well, and we're going to have to be better in our techniques. We kind of got away with some things last week. So yeah, we have to hone in and not pat ourselves on the back.
Okay, this is my favorite quote of the year already.
Sorry, just Robert, listen. But you're not very good. This guy's better.
Listen again and try to hear the moment that Nick realizes he's going to be the lead story on New York sports radio by the afternoon. Listen one more time.
This week, I think we're playing a better...
Pause.
Honestly, a better team that's... they're playing better football, it looks like, and they run the ball well, and we're going to have to be better in our techniques. We kind of got away with some things last week, so... So, yeah, we have to hone in and not pat ourselves on the back.
You know,
wow, it's just tough. It's tough.
Yeah, this week we're playing a better, like...
They're playing better.
They're playing...
They won, Jets didn't.
Team.
Yeah.
Better. You know what this reminds me of?
It's tough.
Still, I've told you about this one. We've done it on the air before. My favorite moment like that in the history of sports media, when a player realizes he is about to step in the biggest pile of doo-doo, stops and goes the other way, is when Quinnen Williams was still in college with Alabama and they were getting ready to play Oklahoma and Kyler Murray. And Quinnen is at the bowl game at those big media day, like, you know, he's at the dais. And he's like, honestly, we don't think that Kyler Murray... And then he just stops. He's about to say, he just stops, and you can feel that, like the specter of Nick Bosa was on his right shoulder, and he just makes a noise. He's like, we don't think that Kyler Murray... And then they go, what did you want to say about Kyler Murray? And he goes, nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's the end of the conversation.
That's it.
It's just
bulletin
like,
board material.
I'm out. I'm
and
jumping
in this
out
case,
of this plane.
He's throwing shade at his former coach, and I'm sure he likes Sala. And he probably does think, as Greg Cosell added in our interview, that Minnesota, they do things differently. And, you know, coaching-wise, they're probably in a better spot than the Jets, and especially their defensive approach. So Nick's right. You're going on the road. The spread, I believe, is 6. You don't know if you're going to have McCaffrey or not. No road game is going to be an easy one, especially when you go to a place that the franchise hasn't won there since before Nick was born, before Grandy was born, 32 years. I know that's a franchise trend, and it has nothing to do with this year's team, but you lost to him last year in Minnesota.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was going to call it a house of horrors, but I know it's a new house.
You could call it.
Yeah.
That was in the dome.
Yeah, the city is not been kind. And I do think that they might be talented. That's a big number on the road.
Yeah.
Week two, that's a very big number. And obviously, it says that what happened on Monday night calmed everybody's fears about the 49ers. All the things that you heard, oh, what's your Super Bowl hangover and the holdout and the hold in, and boy, it just doesn't feel, oh, wait, never mind. That's what that spread says to me. But I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't mean that it matters about Super Bowl hangover and hold-ins and holdouts. I just don't know if I'm ready to say, well, yeah, now the Niners are just going to go into cruise mode the same way they did for the first 5 weeks last week. And then what I also don't know is, like, is Nick reflecting something that's real, or have the 49ers just become really good at finding ways to not allow themselves to get complacent? Because
there's that for
that,
sure.
That felt easy on Monday night, to be it honest did. With you.
And, you know, if you want to compare Minnesota to the Jets, Minnesota might be a little bit better. They might be a little bit worse. They're probably in the same overall category, but Minnesota played the Giants. And if you wanted to do a bottom four teams in the NFL, you have the Panthers and you have the Giants, and then we can have a debate about who the other two are. The Giant team is terrible.
Yep, totally.
And Minnesota handled them as they should on the road. Impressive win. And all the rest of it. But the 49ers, I think, have enough veterans, and they do a good enough job of exactly what he just said. They're like finding ways to stay motivated. Minnesota beat you last year, and any road game is difficult, and you have your eyes on the ultimate prize, which is in February. But in the meantime, you have to go out there and handle your business. And it's a short week for San Francisco and travel. And Minnesota's a completely different team than what they were last year.
Well, it's a totally different environment also. Like, the environment matters. Brian Flores is a really good defensive coordinator. Listen to what Baldy said about it this morning.
Well, they saw him last year. Brian Flores is very talented. They have a brand new defensive line. I mean, all four starters are new. And they caused all kinds of problems. So Daniel Jones to the offensive line. Nobody played well in New York. Daniel Jones walked into a lot of sacks that just aren't necessary. He didn't see the field well. So Brian Flores is going to give you as many different looks as anybody in this whole business right now. So you got to be really patient. Kyle's going to study it real hard. I think you can learn a lot from their performance in Minnesota a year ago, because the secondary is pretty much the same from a year ago. And so I think the fact that there's a blueprint for what Brian likes to do from how they played him a year ago can help game plan for this year.
All right, so that's the thought going into this one. And I do think that the 49ers, I don't think they're going to make it up. It's not like they're that much better than the rest of the NFL, head and shoulders or anything like that. But I think this is something that veteran groups do, and the 49ers now qualify as that. They do have some young pieces that are getting put in there. They've got some new players here and there, and I think that that's what the standard-bearing voices in the locker room are going to do right now, which is don't get excited. I know, it was Monday night, we looked awesome. Don't start patting yourself on the back, because there's 1,000 miles to go here and Christian McCaffrey hasn't played football yet.
And this is a team that pretty much handled our offense last year. And I'm looking at the numbers. McCaffrey, 15 carries for 45 yards. He did have a touchdown in the game against Minnesota. Brock Purdy threw 2 interceptions, and it was a game that the Niners trailed most of the way, and they could never get on top and get over the hump, in part because Kirk Cousins refused to get off the field. So this is a team that's totally different from last year offensively, but on defense they have the same mentality, and they have a good defensive-minded defensive coordinator.
And speaking of this this camp that worried everybody, right? Oh, the Niners, the vibe is off. Do you know what? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe none of us are on the team, and we have no idea exactly how it was going. Because I also thought this might have been the number one thing I was thinking about on Monday night while watching that football game. The 49ers, like all teams in the NFL, you come out, you start your season, and you're like, oh, you got some cobwebs. They snapped out of that as fast as any team that I watched. Maybe the Saints and Vikings, and for reasons that you already detailed, that was their opponent as much as anything else. But the 49ers snapped out and cleared the cobwebs and looked like they were playing at a pretty high level pretty fast. So how do you do that when you have a quote-unquote crappy camp? Listen to what Deebo Samuel said about the way they started.
Sure, especially coming off a Super Bowl loss, you know, I think a lot of us use that as motivation to come in and kind of put it behind us and not look back for what happened, but kind of like move forward and just control the things that we can do for us, like day to day and week to week. And I just think everybody was just trying to perfect their craft every day.
So Deebo is speaking to basically a seriousness in camp. And I wonder if that translated to the media, because we are like often the group that you're there, you're talking to people, you're watching it, and maybe it didn't look like the party that it's looked like before. And we translated that as, well, Brandon's not here and Christian's not playing and Trent's not here and they lost the Super Bowl. Oh, they just don't feel well. And Debo's like, no, it's because our nose is to the damn grindstone because we're so ticked off about what happened last year.
Yeah, and Trent Williams even said a similar thing. I heard a quote yesterday, one of our shows was playing it, how when he finally got into camp, he came in and there wasn't anybody joking around. I mean, no towel snapping and no pranks and no hijinks. It was business. And he was looking at the rookies and thinking, these guys who've been here before he was this year are already like head down, like Debo saying, nose to the grindstone and like setting about becoming professional players and really getting ready for the season, knowing full well that this team's in the Super Bowl window.
The comments you are referring to,
you got him?
Sounded a little bit like this.
I walked in, I'm like, damn, everybody is like laser focused. Everybody flying around. It's like not a lot of joking going on. It's like we got a lot of new players in the locker room that's already playing at San Francisco, you know, at what we expect around here. So, you know, looked at all the young guys and the draft and just like, damn, I, obviously we had a good roster last year. I didn't know that they could improve it, but I mean, in my opinion, we improved, and those guys are playing their butts off.
Okay, that came right after the game on Monday night.
Yeah, he says it a lot better than I did. I stammered through it.
Yeah, no,
the gist.
Yeah, I got the idea.
I added the towel snapping and the hijinks because that's what I do.
That's why I liked yours.
But
yeah,
all business, you know, and that's where you get, and it's hard to do it week in and week out, but this is the first road trip, so you know, everybody, rookies and stuff, is your first time going to a city, and Minnesota's going to be all revved up for their team that's 1-0, and it's a new experience for the younger players.
You ever struck by how stupid we all are?
All the time.
Okay.
I mean, I try to remember what I don't know, because a lot of times I get wrapped up in what I do know, and you put more import on what you do know as opposed to putting that same energy into what you don't know.
Yeah, like I think that's very well said. Like, who cares what you don't know as long as you admit it? Like, it took me, and that was a while, like that's being in your 20s, is you don't know the power of that phrase. I don't know.
Exactly.
Like, it's okay. It's okay to say I'm sorry. It's okay to say I was wrong. It's okay to say I don't know, because there's tons of stuff I don't know. I'm wrong probably like more often than a broken clock.
Huh?
You know what I mean? And like, yeah. And Dibs, I'm sorry. I don't even know why, but I probably did something at some point.
No, it's all right.
No, those are
apology not accepted.
Those are powerful phrases, though.
They are.
And the reason that just popped into my head is I'm having one of these moments where I'm just laughing at all of us. Me, you, definitely Lucas, Grandy, every caller we've had the last 6 weeks of our lives have been worrying and talking about how the vibe was off and hangovers and predicting that things will not go as expected. And obviously those predictions aren't wrong yet. They're just 1-0. But do you notice how quickly we went from that to, well, this is the best roster they've ever had? How quickly did we go from, oh no, this is last dance, hangover, vibes off, hold in, hold out? How quickly, one game, I think this is the best roster that Kyle Shanahan has ever had. I mean, and not just people saying it, like Trent Williams saying it. That's funny. That's funny to me.
Well, it's the way it works in this league. And if they go out Sunday and they lay an egg, let's say the game goes exactly like it did last year, except this time it's Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold.
I knew that was coming.
I couldn't help it. 370 yards or whatever. And he looks like the next great quarterback. And you end up with three turnovers and you lose to Minnesota again. Well, then come Monday, Rockstar's Millions and everything else we talk about, it's going to sound different. And, you know, there'll be people saying, oh, this Niner team's overrated. The Jets aren't that good, and Minnesota took it to you. They're overrated. So everything changes week to week.
Well,
in this business, in this league.
Right, but I would say that right now the optimism is not just baked into how the 49ers looked, but now the outlook that you have, which has clearly changed. I mean, even from 4 o'clock on Monday, what is it right now? Almost 4 o'clock on Wednesday. It was almost exactly 48 hours ago that what happened. Grandy hit the little breaking news, Christian's out.
That's right.
That was 48 hours ago, almost to the mark.
Feels like a week ago.
Exactly. 48 hours ago, we get that news, and the party that's cruising around Levi Stadium all of a sudden has rain falling on it. And now, look at how we feel about it now. I look at this roster that so many are calling the best that the Niners have had. I look at a dominant performance in a primetime game against a supposedly good team, and I think to myself, this team might acquire Christian McCaffrey. It might acquire 50% of Brandon Ayuk. It might acquire Talanoa Hufanga. Like, you're going to make acquisitions on this team that are already baked in, and it already looks like it has the chance, at least, to perform at a very high and balanced level.
It should, and, you know, that's assuming you don't lose anybody else along the way, because an NFL season, everyone talks about it being a marathon, and part of that is enduring injuries and getting guys healthy and getting guys back, and Greenlaw and Hufanga and Ricky Pearsall, for crying out loud, who hopefully is ready to go for week 5. This team will be forever changing as the season goes on, but you take it one week in, and you can't help but get excited. Even Captain Stingy back there, Grandy, with his grades, he's giving out A's and A-minuses and B-pluses.
Yep.
And deservedly so. So, I mean, fans
Captain
are...
Stingy?
Oh, yeah, Stingosaurus Rex is what I was going to go with, because we're in a dinosaur space right now.
That was my prediction. I thought that you were going to be really, really tough on the 49ers, and
he couldn't. He did not have the... I mean, even Dr. Negatron in there doesn't have the bandwidth to nitpick and give a position group a C. He couldn't.
No.
I like Dr. Negatron, probably my favorite.
Was there even a player? McKivitz? Campbell? Was there a player that you wanted to
kind of bullied me into asking Greg Cosell about Devondre Campbell.
Yep.
And Greg was like, no, he's going to be fine. So all of Niner fans who want to nitpick on somebody, it's Devondre Campbell and get over it.
There's a chance that Greg thinks Devondre Campbell's going to be fine. There's a chance he's like, dude, I didn't know they could ask me about Devondre Campbell.
Oh, he was ready for it.
I mean, he's Greg.
Yeah.
He's ready.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
But you know what I mean? Do you ever think about Greg Cosell's week? What happens?
Well, he watches every play from every game.
Right, but you don't have to just watch like more than twice.
Right.
Like, how much film are you watching to where you just pick up the phone and be like, ask me anything? You're like, all right, what about the third linebacker on the Bills? Well, let me tell you what happened. Here you go. And he just like, what is happening each week? How much football does he watch?
It's crazy. It's crazy. He's got to watch. I wonder how many of these he does. Probably not 32.
No.
So I'm sure there are teams that he drills down on a little bit more closely. And then their opponent and their previous opponent.
Well, that's the thing.
And then their opponent's opponent.
You don't know where, but he doesn't know where. Exactly. Like, I want to let everyone know that. Greg doesn't know where that conversation's going to go. We do not prompt him.
No.
Nobody's texting him. They're going to ask you about Brandon Ayuk. Like, it's just, dude, talk. And we start asking stuff, and he can answer anything about every player.
Impressive.
Devondre Campbell. I think, come on. Come on. That's a lot of people. This guy's supposed to have memorized. I considered, but it's only week two, so I didn't do it yet. I might do this later in the year. I considered asking him what went wrong for the 49er defense in their game against Minnesota last year. He probably would have been able to answer the question. He probably just from memory.
No doubt. He's got that kind of memory. So, yeah, Devondre Campbell. Greg says,
Devondre Campbell.
Go ahead and rest easy, 49er fans. He's going to be just fine. And the length that he was talking about, the length that linebacker.
By the time we get to December or even Thanksgiving, that might be Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah, or Winters in the interim. Or
D. Winters.
Yeah.
Like, this team's going to acquire a bunch of people.
Right. And I just watching them on defense and, you know, Greg pointing out how much they played nickel defense, the base with five in the secondary, three out of every four snaps was in that base. And then you start to think about what happens when Dre Greenlaw does come back and you have your four down linemen and it's Fred and Dre, and then it's five guys in coverage. That defense is going to be fun to watch.
Did you hear what Brandon Ayuk said today?
Missed it.
Check it out.
I think after the game, I didn't watch the film until this morning. I was a little bit scared to watch it, but not as bad as I thought.
And you were scared to watch it?
I was scared to watch it.
Like, did it just not feel right at the time?
Okay. Just watched the film today. Was scared to watch it. Said it didn't look as bad as he thought it would, but no, things did not feel right out there.
I can imagine.
I wonder why.
Well, you go from the Super Bowl loss to a instant TikTok and a sullen face in the exit interviews and everything that took place over the summer. I don't need to enunciate all of the things that we know that he went through. And then you finally sign, you get a couple of practices, boom, Monday Night Football. Go play. Go make plays, Brandon, on a handful of targets. Go ahead and make sure you're perfect or else. And so all the pressure and all of the buildup in the offseason, you finally get to play and boop, and then boop.
Come on, man. I mean, like, look, we're so past the point of wanting to belabor this issue. But at the same time, like, I'm giving 49er fans open invitation to just shake your head. You're allowed to shake your head on this one. It's fine.
SMH.
They're fine. Everything's fine. But yeah, SMH. Like, come on, man. And all I can hope for at this point, because it is, it's over, it's in the past, I really hope that a lesson was learned. I really do. And I don't want
camp matters.
I don't want that. Well, it's not just camp matters, because Trent Williams didn't go to camp and he looked fantastic. And Christian McCaffrey didn't have camp. We're all hoping that he's back. Again, it's not so much what happened, it's the way it happened. I just hope, and I don't even mean that the lesson is only learned by Brandon. Everybody. Because remember, we were talking about this, like, oh, this is the way players are going to do it with the Niners now, like, or all teams. Just wait and push it. Push it all the way to the end. You'll get more money. Man, Blake Snell, push it. We're going to get more money. Dude, there's a damn cost. There's a cost to negotiating that way. I hope agents are watching. This is pointless. There's no need. There is absolutely nothing good that comes from, I'm going to get 17 more cents and blow up the first quarter of my season.
Probably was more than 17 cents.
I don't think it was anything.
Well, if they were offering him 26 back in March, then he got more than 17 cents extra.
But he got that offered at the beginning of camp. This is all well documented. And the dude was about 10 seconds away from being a Steeler. Like, this was not a good experience. Like, just...
He was at camp.
Come on, man. Come on, dog.
He's just there so he doesn't get fined.
Yeah.
And they say they don't want me.
Kyle Shanahan was talking about it again today. Remember the Jay Glazer story of, everybody's blowing whistles and calling people and screaming and yelling and running around in the facility because, like, don't trade with the Steelers. Hold on. So apparently the story was, Kyle Shanahan had to run upstairs because they weren't taking his call, and he wanted to tell him to stop. Brandon's ready to sign. So he talked about why he ran up the stairs.
I had to sprint because I had a team meeting at 8:30, and I was getting ready for my team meeting. Brandon just randomly walked in and talked to me at 8:15. very Brandon-like to pick that type of time because I was trying to get ready for something else. 10 minutes in a talk to him, I realized we need to talk a little bit more when the meeting was over. Meetings can go a while and stuff, and I knew we were in discussions a lot with Pittsburgh, so I actually called up to John, and he didn't answer, picked up on the first ring. So I just wanted to make sure he wasn't on the other line making any trades. So I ran up there and just said, hold on, let's talk after this meeting.
Did you have to, like, barge in?
No. No, I'm not going to make it more dramatic than it already is.
And I love, he's like, it's very like Brandon to just walk in and start bringing this up 15 minutes before I'm supposed to be doing something else.
Pretty funny.
Well, it also, I like a lot of the reports that we heard, they were true. Like Kyle
they were close.
Kyle gets annoyed sometimes by Brandon Ayuk.
No doubt. And you just heard it right there. It was like so much, like, you know, it's such a Brandon thing to do. Coming right before my meeting, but
guy.
Yeah.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.